The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian sitting areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when their travels bring them to Washington. For more information, visit www.tabardinn.com.
Hi there, I'm Kathy Irway, and this is Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. We're here at Roberta's Pizza. It's been a hell of a snowy last few weeks, and I got stuck on my way over here. But we're all here now, and it's the beginning of, it's almost the end of January, but still very much at the beginning of the year, and perhaps many of you have made resolutions. Maybe it has to do with eating well or eco-vering your home. Is that a word? Eco-ver?
Mm-hmm. It's a product at any rate.
I'm like recycling marketing that I hear, I guess. Anyway, so there's a lot of things, there's a lot of, you know, talk about composting, but the gripes I hear most commonly is that it's smelly, it's gross, and it's a pain. There's two ways most people know how to do it. You either do it and actually have a compost bin and that you have to turn and you somehow use the compost in your own garden, or you collect compost in a smelly bucket and you drop it off. And however, Vondra Thorburn, who's my guest today, had a different solution, and she calls it her company Vokashi. And it's a kitchen waste solution where you actually don't have to take it anywhere. How does it work, Vondra?
Well, works as a sort of like a diaper service, really.
Yeah, you, I like that.
You collect your food waste in a bucket that we provide, and a bran, which we make too, and it's the bran that's the magic, actually, that has the effect of microorganisms in it, so that you can, so the bran actually prevents the food waste from going bad and from putrefying, and actually ferments your food waste. So your food, and then we come through once a month. We pick up the buckets, and then we take off to the second step of this, which is the going off to composting sites. And we have a wonderful arrangement now with the East New York Farms, where we can take, you know, 100 buckets a month.
Oh, great! And they use it for
their composting pile. So, and they are looking for, as they say, high nitrogen, and a bucket full of your fermented food waste is very, very high nitrogen.
All right.
And so it's actually really cool. This is the beginning of my second year. And my business plan actually won
the second place in the BPL's
Power Up competition, actually. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, it was fun. And the whole process actually has been a great sort of change in my life. You know, I turned 62 and here I am.
You're at the cutting edge of...
And doing something that I should be doing in my 30s. Well, and I really wish that I was 30. What I have to think of.
Well, I wish I had thought of this, but it takes time, obviously.
Right. And to be truthful, it's the washing of the buckets that is actually the pain.
But you're sparing other people from having to do it.
Service. Yeah. You see, that's the diaper part of the service. Yeah. You know? So, and it's actually the method is an old Japanese method of fermenting food waste called bokashi.
Oh my gosh, that's like pickling.
Yes.
Yes, I know that. Yes. Rice bran, okay.
Yes, yes. So when I was thinking about doing a composting service a couple of years ago, and I thought about it because I knew there was a crisis in the collection at Fort Greene, you know, that lots of people were coming off and dropping off their food waste. Mm-hmm. But really, there weren't a lot of people that wanted to get onto the trike and trike it around to the...
To Lower East Side and ecology?
And to the added farm or whatever. So I knew that.
I see.
And that's when I thought maybe there could be a service in here that would, you know, where some people could benefit from making some money because
yeah, you don't have to leave your house.
That's right. And you don't have to volunteer to do. So the whole notion of this, which is how, you know, the residential composting is set up at the moment, is that it's all volunteer. I think it needs to be a green business myself. So at any rate, we... and then I thought, well, let me be a composting service. And I said, oh, no, I can't. I can't pick up
a one-woman composting pickup.
And I said, but I can't be living with rotting food. And that's when I Googled and came across Bokashi. Bokashi, New Zealand. I happen to be a New Zealander. So I emailed Bokashi, New Zealand right away. They said, well, here's a guy in Tucson, Arizona. His name is Eric Lancaster. He knows everything about EM in America. And spoke to Eric. Eric said, well, I have a good friend in Manhattan called Shig Matsukawa. So next thing, I was meeting up with Shig, and he was wonderful in sort of mentoring me through the first 6 months of collecting, making the brand, getting the original customers, planting the original buckets.
And okay, so that's how you learned. And
there we go.
And you gave me this wonderful mason jar called, with a label on it, fermented food waste.
That's right. So the thing
so about this
that,
is what you did.
You're going to open up that. And
do you remember what food it was? Or?
Well, there'll be some apples and cores and
it smells like vinegar.
There we go. And the most important thing about that, Kathy, is that bottle, I've been carrying that around as a sort of a sample of what fermented food waste smells like for about 9 months.
It doesn't look too pretty, but it smells all right.
And it smells all right. And there's no worms.
No.
There are no maggots.
No.
And that's the main thing about
But it's everywhere. Living, though, right? It's doing something.
Well, it's doing something anaerobically. Mm-hmm. So these are the microorganisms that survive and thrive without air. And those are lactic acid and yeast and a phototropic bacteria. Bacteria that we're rather familiar with, actually. Mm-hmm. And so they actually are preserving all of the food waste and somewhat working chemically to sort of break down the cellulose and the lignin in the food property, but stabilizing it, really. Mm-hmm. Just holding it until all the material meets its partners, as it were, its cousins, which are the microbes in the soil. So they're all waiting till they get into the soil, and then they will combine with the microbes in soils that actually do help decompose the material into what is essentially the matter, the dust that is
in
the soil. That's the soil.
Okay.
Now, this material actually works very. Fermented food waste can be added to other garden waste and yard waste. And it's this combination of yard waste and food waste that we all associate with compost.
Right.
That's the compost material. So you can add a fermented food waste to yard waste to make that compost material that was sort of we think of and we purchase when we want to put something into a planter. But the other way of using fermented food waste is to just put it into the soil directly as a fertilizer. And actually, that's traditionally how the fermented food waste would be just plowed into beds that are going to be used for the next.
And what's the outcome on the plants that are planted in just those fermented food waste?
Well, it's not just the fermented food waste. It's in the soil. The fermented food waste has been a fertilizer to the soil. Those plants work very, very well. They grow and they're rich.
I can imagine.
Yeah, they're great.
Tons of nitrogen, right?
Yep. And the other part of EM, which is effective microorganisms, and is this whole technology that the Japanese have perfected, is to use the EM as a spray on plants to
like a compost juice or tea
exactly,
or something
to really encourage the growth of
I've seen that done.
So there are some sites in the States, actually, where there are farms, pecan farms, pepper farms in the Southwest that are using EM as a spray to
I think I saw that done at Stone Barns. They have a compost tea bubbler.
They do. They do. Yeah. I'd love to go out to Stone Barn, actually. So the biggest thing about this, actually, Kathy, is the degree to which this revolution, as I like to think of it, is in the way, is to helping households collect their food waste. And to me, this is the game changer. And this is what I think is really, really exciting. I have about 35 going on to almost 50 households now that are participating on a monthly basis. There are many more that have purchased buckets and are doing
in
it
the
by
past?
Themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
But at the moment, I'm picking up from 35 households a month, which is great. And so they're beginning to, you know, people are beginning to do this as a lifestyle change.
It's a learning process, too. I really like the educational aspect of it.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, hey, you could be as involved or not involved, but this is what's going on, and that's a reality, and that's fascinating, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the big thing, of course, on my part is the, you know, what we're going to do to really, when we're collecting from thousands of households, it's like, oh, Christ, now what do you do with all of the money? But there's also the other part of feeding all of this fermented food waste to community gardens so they can have viable composting systems. Most community gardens cannot have viable composting systems because they're labor intensive. You just need one gardener to say, oh, that smell, oh, I saw a rat, and people will say, we're not doing it.
Right, or you put something wrong in the compost or litter.
Oh, dear. And so it's the cause of many community strifes.
Oh.
But the Lower East Side, El Sol Brillante, which is a wonderful garden on East 12th Street, and my friend Shig Matsuakawa has been working with the gardeners there. And for a year now, they have been collecting food waste from the neighborhood into these fermenting systems that are in their garden. They are thrilled.
Okay.
No rats. And so gardeners...
No public smell.
Public smells. And just material that can be added to their worm bins, can be added to their yard waste, and actually is being plowed into the neighborhood children's garden to restore some rich nutrients into the soil.
And hey, who can complain if the plants look healthy and thriving?
That's right.
That's the bottom line of their, right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So that's very exciting. And so my hope is to develop networks around community gardens that will take residential food waste.
Right nearby.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get right back to that. I have a million questions, but I know you brought a song and wanted to plop that on. Jack, can we rock it?
Be right
back.
I can compost anything in my marvelous compost bin. It sits behind the garden shed, always waiting to be fed. Plastic ones from B&Q can't do what my bin can do. Cabbages and cauliflowers are rendered in a matter of hours. The next door neighbor's bowling shoe took a day or maybe two. I can compost anything in my marvelous compost bin. Oh, he can compost anything in his marvellous compost bin. Grandad brought it home for me from a journey overseas. When Grandad died from drinking gin, we put him in my compost bin.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm Kathy Arway, your host, and here is Vondra Thorburn, the incredible founder of Vakashi Kitchen Waste Solutions. And I'm looking at a pamphlet right now for your work. And a lot of people wonder, you know, what can't go into compost And there's different ways to compost too. If you're going to have your own just bin, there's some things that you can't really include. And I think this broadens the field with your system of fermenting it with this bran. It really does the trick on a lot more on a lot more things. Like so fresh fruits, vegetables, that's a kind of a common basic sense. And cooked or uncooked foods and leftovers. So you can do prepared foods, which a lot of people cannot put into their community compost drop-off.
Right.
And meat, chicken, and fish bones.
You better.
Yeah, and who doesn't, you know, have that if they cook at home?
Right.
And it seems like such a waste because this is so much nitrogen. This is what the plants need for a nitrogen-rich soil. And then dairy, cheese, eggs, and eggshells. So everything. Coffee grinds, tea bags, wilted flowers, dried leaves, biodegradable paper towels, lint, and hair. You can clean up your whole bathroom.
That's right.
Anything, basically anything living and organic.
And actually what we say that you can't include are liquids, you know, milks, yogurts, oils, and juices.
Put it down the drain.
But actually, we could take those liquids. It's not that you can't take them. It's just that I don't want to be carrying around buckets of liquid. So we say don't put liquids into the buckets because... you know, we're carrying out, you know, what a full bucket is about 30 pounds.
Hey, Bondra is in her 60s. Come on, give her a break.
and of course, the other thing is not to put in the plastic wraps and rubber bands.
Oh, those naughty, unbiodegradable things.
Yes.
Styrofoam, please stay away.
Oh, yes. But we are I am taking some of the corn, the corns. No, you know, the new peanuts, the packing peanuts that are made of cornstarch, and I would love to be able to take some of the corn plateware and cutlery.
Yeah,
but for that, what we would really have to do is to have some macerator, which would grind down,
and that's a huge thing now. Yeah. Seeing these biodegradable, a lot of restaurants uses biodegradable potato starch or something cups.
Yes,
and there's this great Ventura plates that you may have seen. The square, you know, very fashionable bamboo leaf, I think, something like that.
Yes,
a banana leaf, and yes, they're compostable, but there's not a whole lot of options. You can't really compost it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, how do you break that down?
Added value is not going to take that, nor is the Lower East Side Ecology Center either. Yeah. So, but what we could, but I would love to be able to take it, but there are a couple of steps. We'd have to have some sort of macerator where we could grind up and make
paper shredder.
Paper shredder.
Plastic shredder.
Ah,
what was it? Greenware is the cup company. There should be some solution. Maybe they should sell shredders of some sort.
When I think big, as I like to think big, I think of sort of partnering with a green hauling carting company. And the cutting companies that are trying to service the green restaurants, what I would be thinking about is to find the solution of fermenting that volume of material that comes from restaurants, and also having a macerator, you know, making a machine that could live in restaurants, that takes all of the organic matter, chops it all down to reduce the volume. Then you add the fermented bran to that material, and then you put that into 33 or 50-gallon vats, and you take that off-site, and then you let it ferment. Now, fermentation takes 2 weeks, but it can also be left like that for 2 years.
Oh. Wow.
So imagine being able to collect and to store all of our food waste for months at a time. And with all of this microbial inoculant and just waiting to go back into the soil, my biggest dream on this, and as I say, sort of partnering up with a cartoning company.
Let's hear your big dream right now. All there.
There we go. Okay. And if there are any carting companies out there, my number is 718-623-1911.
You got it.
Then
you heard it here.
then we would be looking at partnering, actually, for a soil remediation. My biggest hope is that we can take the tons of food waste, process it, ferment it, and then feed it back into soils that are contaminated.
Yes, because this, yeah, that's a big problem.
Yes, and so my vision of the sort of the Gowanus Canal is being cleaned up with the food waste.
The shores of Greenpoint, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
wow,
just amazing, just wonderful.
So people can garden because now
So to me, that's the big thing, and I say that actually because at the big level, you know, waste management, I mean, to the biggest sort of waste industry and players in this country, what they want to do is to grab it and put it into these biofuels, or take all of our garbage and set up these $65 million machines to create a methane. All of that, I'm hoping that we can sort of have enough leverage and go down a different road.
That's fascinating.
Rather than using our food waste as a fuel,
right,
a source for fuel, but actually use it
as a way to replenish and refine it. And yeah, some of these places are so toxic, they're deemed, you know, you have to completely take out all this oil and replace. Do you think it's salvageable? Like this method, this fermented food waste, will actually over time change the chemistry of it enough that it is no longer toxic?
You know, I'm going to put some money on it. We do have to do the research. I have friends at Joshua Chan at Brooklyn College. It's the Environmental Science and Analytical Center there, and students and a wonderful sort of state-of-the-art soil testing machine waiting for some big projects where we can find the land that are moderately toxic. And then, of course, there are going to be some other problems. But but if we can be sort of adding to, because we know that microbes can be used for oil remediations and salt remediations, whether they can be used for lead remediation is another big issue.
Okay, so start with the small.
But you start with some small.
Yeah.
And then, but you know, these are big ideas, need some big grants.
No, but that's a beautiful thought and a great metaphor. Because, I mean, it's like a total transformation. It's that you can take something that is thought to be dead and you actually
waste.
You know, yeah, waste will actually make it into something that is thriving and living again and able to produce food.
And it is.
It's fascinating.
And it's, of course, really the cycle of life. I mean, it was always, as they say, from dust to dust.
And that's, oh my gosh.
Is that sweet?
So it's more than, you know, this is a lot more than just having somebody pick up your trash for you.
Right.
I think that this is, we're onto something, you are onto something that is very
inspiring.
Well, we are, actually.
So, yes.
Thank you. All right, Vandra, thank you so much. And please, folks, if you'd like to be one of those 35 households that would like
you. Come on, I'm looking for my
come on
first.
Board, check out Vokashi, VOKASHI. You know, or just call Vandra.
Of course, 718-633-1911.
And I'm going to be testing out this fermented food waste because I can't wait.
You have a little bucket there. You have the bread. And
it's a really
then
nice
you'll
bucket.
Just and it's a pretty bad and you'll
it says
give me
eco
a
smart on it. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Alrighty.
I'll
thank
have to let you guys
Kathy
know
so
what
much.
Happens. Thanks so much, Vandra. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.